And now, young Widder Brown. Ellen Brown is in a grave condition at Health Center Hospital as the result of the murderous plans of Christopher Simpson, who went insane and killed his wife, Madeline, and then shot at Ellen, believing she was his sister-in-law, Louise Simpson. Now, this afternoon, in his office at the hospital, Ellen's fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, is talking on the telephone to a New River City newspaper reporter. There are lines drawn about Anthony's eyes, and his manner is tense and controlled, as he says.
I'll be very honest with you, Mr. Cooper. It would not be convenient for me to give you an interview. Sorry, I'm very busy with the hospital. And although my personal involvement in this case is tremendous, I can't justifiably spend too much time. Yes? Yes, I would definitely say it was homicidal mania. I would definitely say that Christopher Simpson was insane. Perhaps, but these things are best handled and discussed by psychiatrists, Mr. Cooper. I'm sorry to say I didn't recognize how close to the borderline this man was. Mrs. Brown's condition remains the same. No, I do not think Simpson was in love with Mrs. Brown. No, there were no motives of jealousy. She was in the house at that hour because she was packing clothes for Mrs. Louise Simpson, who was leaving the next morning for Mrs. Brown's house. Look here, Cooper, stop trying to make something of this. The story is precisely as it was told to you and everybody else early this morning. Isn't it enough to have one attempted killing, one completed murder, and the killer shot by the police? Doesn't that dress up your newspaper enough? Must you have some kind of personal scandal, too? I beg your pardon. I'm tired, and I lose my temper quickly when I'm tired. Goodbye. Thank you. Oh, dear. I'm afraid I'd never make a diplomat. Come in.
Hello, Anthony.
Hello, Mac.
Ellen hasn't lost any ground, they tell me.
Nor has she gained any, Mac.
No loss is a gain, and you know it. You look exhausted, my dear.
So? I've just had a talk with Cooper of the New River City Press. I think they were looking for some scandal angle about Christopher Simpson and Ellen.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Of course, I'll admit it's a very thin story. What was Ellen doing in the Simpson house at 2 o'clock in the morning, so on? See anything of Louise?
Didn't you know? I practically had her ejected bodily from the hospital. She was looking for you.
What for?
To say she was sorry.
Oh. Tell her that's perfectly all right.
Seems a pity one more Simpson couldn't have been blotted out. May heaven forgive me for saying so.
My sister Victoria has been trying to get hold of me too, Mac.
Oh?
Let's not have her around either if we can avoid it. She did it for me, you know. She did this for me.
Victoria?
Ellen, I keep thinking of it. She shielded me. Christopher was gunning for me after he killed Madeline.
Ellen only did what you would have done in her place.
We can't even touch that one bullet, Mac. Turner, McCormick, the whole lot of us agree on that.
Time is a doctor's best friend, Anthony. Of course, you can't do anything now.
No, wait. I don't know, Mac. When you're a doctor, you live two lives. One is so controlled, so disciplined. The one in which you watch people wait and you don't let yourself think of what they're going through because it would lessen your efficiency in their behalf. The other is being all of those people who have ever waited. Waited for me to tell them how someone they loved was getting on.
Anthony, dear, why don't you go for a good walk or take the car and go for a drive?
Something might happen.
Nothing's going to happen for a long time. And you have to get hold of yourself. Get yourself geared for the waiting. And have you be ready to see Ellen when she's really conscious? You'll have to smile at her and look rested and confident. If she saw you as you are now, Anthony...
All right, you're right, Mac. I'll take the car and go down by the lake.
Do that, Anthony. If anything should happen, we could reach you.
Yes.
And stay there for a while. Get your thinking straightened out. Just sit and look at the lake and work this out in your mind.
All right, Mac. You stop worrying about me now, and I'll get my thinking ironed out. I'll come back in an hour or so.
The lake outside Simpsonville is quite small, a pond with a little park around it, but it suffices for all the sentimental needs of the community, for talks in the sunset, walks in the sunrise. And now, as Anthony sits down on a bench and draws his pipe from his pocket, he remembers the many times he and Ellen sat here, the time he told her that he was going into the service, and how she said to him,
"Look, darling... things like that are for a man to decide with himself. When a man decides to enlist in the army, That's a decision only he can make and know whether it's right or not.
Sometimes, Ellen, a man likes another opinion.
You have to do it, Anthony. You couldn't live with yourself and not do it. You couldn't be you.
I can stay at the hospital, you know. That's a mighty essential job.
But you don't want to. And you know that someone else can run it for you.
That's it.
He made me feel as if it were a problem you had to talk over when you drove out here to the lake. It's no problem. When do you go?
When they take me. I've signed up. I just wait till they send me a bit of paper with a number on it.
Oh.
Business as usual till then. Nothing very glamorous to it.
There never is to anything tremendous, Anthony. For instance, instead of my making a big speech about being proud of you and all that, I'm thinking to myself, I bet he'll look just beautiful in uniform.
Nice girl. No speeches. Just take it as it comes, huh?
Why not? Life hasn't been very bad to me so far. Or to you, Anthony. I don't think we can ever complain about the pattern of it. Everything that's happened to either one of us has gone into making something good. I believe that. I have to believe that because, well, I haven't time for petty rebellions.
You are making speeches, after all.
Do I bore you?
Oh, right. Kiss me.
Darling. Anthony, darling. Darling.
I must be going out of my mind just sitting here delving into the past. But Mac was right. It does help. I wonder if I got someone from back east to look Ellen over. I wonder if... Seems to me I read in the AMA about a man and... Oh, no, no.
Anthony!
This is great. Hello, Louise.
I'll go if you don't want me here, Anthony.
It's a public park, Louise. I have no special rights.
I couldn't go through the night, Anthony, without telling you how sorry I am about Ellen.
I know you're sorry, Louise. Thank you.
It was me that Christopher wanted to kill. You see, I was right. And Ellen, going into my room like that. Oh, I can picture the whole thing. They teamed up against me, Christopher and Madeline. And they thought Ellen was I.
We've all figured out just how it happened, Louise.
Is she going to live, Anthony?
I don't know, Louise. I hope so. Isn't that amazing that we can discuss Ellen's dying so conversationally? I mean that the words you use every day are the only ones you have to use for something that's so enormous, so tremendous, like this.
Anthony.
Sorry, for instance, Louise. You're sorry about Ellen. I'm sorry, too, but the difference between the two feelings.
If she dies, I'll have killed her.
Yes. Yes, Louise, that's true, in a way. And characteristically, you think of that, don't you?
What do you mean, Anthony?
Ellen may be dying, but everyone must focus attention on your reaction because you're guilty.
Anthony!
You'll accept the guilt in order to get the attention. That's very interesting, Louise. Very interesting indeed, come to think of it.
I don't understand you when you talk like this.
Well, comparisons are odious, Louise, and I'm being odious. Before you came, I remembered Ellen and how she reacted to something rather important in her life. How she talked and what she said. And it was very good. She's a good person. She's wonderful. And much more wonderful after I talk to you.
I'll go. I'll go, Anthony.
Oh, no, wait. I'm very sorry. I'm behaving very badly. Very badly indeed. Ellen would be furious with me.
Anthony,
and so I beg your pardon most humbly, most humbly. I'm going back to the hospital now.
Anthony, what can I do for Ellen?
Nothing.
You know I won't spare a cent to bring the biggest people here, to give her the finest care.
Thank you. That's generous of you, Louise, but not necessary. I have a feeling that, like everything else, Ellen will take care of this herself. Good night, Louise. I think I want to go back to the hospital and see how she's doing.
How has Louise reacted to Anthony's words? And what advantage will she take of the crisis now facing young Widder Brown?